الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا صدق الله العظيم Respected elders and beloved brother Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Masjid al-Aqsa a lot of virtue, and there are many, many virtues mentioned regarding Masjid al-Aqsa in the Qur'an al-Majid. Approximately Masjid al-Aqsa comes in the Qur'an al-Majid, or reference is made regarding Masjid al-Aqsa in the Qur'an al-Majid approximately 70 times. We find that Masjid al-Aqsa was the second masjid to be built in Islam. Once when Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inquired that which is the first masjid to be built in Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it was Masjid al-Haram. And thereafter inquired which was the second masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that it was Masjid al-Aqsa. And thereafter he inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what was the time frame between the first masjid and the second masjid being built. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that it was a period of 40 years. So Masjid al-Aqsa was the second masjid to be built in Islam, and it was the first Qibla of the believers. Together with that, there are many, many other virtues. Once Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if any one of you has the opportunity and he is able to visit Masjid al-Aqsa and perform salah therein, then he should undertake this journey. But if he is unable to do so, then he should send some money to light the lanterns that are burning in Masjid al-Aqsa. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who performs salah in Masjid al-Haram, then the reward of his salah is multiplied by 10,000 times. That person who performs salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, then the reward of that salah is multiplied by 1,000 times. And that person who performs salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, then his reward is multiplied by 500 times. We find that Masjid al-Aqsa and that land of Sham, that Mubarak land, as I had mentioned in the ayat, I recited the ayat in the khutbah, it was that masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen for the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens. And this journey of Mi'raj, there were two parts of the journey. One was Isra and one was Mi'raj. One was the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter was the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Masjid al-Aqsa for this great journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mi'raj had come at a very, very difficult time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been through a lot of persecution and a lot of hardship in Makkah al-Mukarramah prior to Mi'raj. It was known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. One was the difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured when they were boycotted from the Quraysh of Makkah had boycotted them. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar of Makkah had boycotted them. And they were banished in a valley which became known as the valley of Abu Talib. They experienced a lot of hardship in that period. And not only that, after this boycott had ended, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost two very, very close companions of his. One was our beloved mother, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib. They both passed away. They both were pillars of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook the journey to Taif. We know the incident. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of difficulty and hardship in this journey. So after these incidents that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was the journey after the difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had experienced. You find that on the one hand, Allah ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter Allah ta'ala called him up and gave him this gift of salah. But Masjid al-Aqsa was also a place of comfort and solace for other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he was thrown into the fire, and after his people had prepared such a large fire, and they attempted to kill him, but Allah ta'ala saved him, and Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we had saved him. We had saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from the evil that the people had intended. We had saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire, and we took him to the blessed land. The blessed land here refers to the land around Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala also mentions regarding Lut alayhi salam, وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Lut alayhi salam, his nation were very, very disobedient, and they were very, very immoral. They had committed this crime of homosexuality. May Allah protect us, save us, and save our progenies from this evil which is creeping into our societies nowadays. And Allah Ta'ala had become so angry with them. Such an azab and punishment was sent upon the nation of Lut alayhi salam that not one punishment would have sufficed. But فَأَخَذَتُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُصْبِحِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا صَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلِيمٍ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّينَ. The three punishments were set upon the nation of Lut alayhi salam. One was the scream that seized them. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala lifted up that entire nation of Lut alayhi salam and turned it down and crushed it. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions that we rained down upon them boulders and rocks. This was their crime, such a serious crime, this evil, this despicable deed, this immoral action that they had perpetrated, that they were punished in this way. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We saved Lut alayhi salam from the tyranny and the evil of his people, and we took him to the blessed land. Allah Ta'ala also talks about Sulaiman alayhi salam, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غدو وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam a lot of power and a lot of control upon the earth. Sulaiman alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made dua for three things. That Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. One dua he made to Allah ta'ala, that oh Allah, bless me with a kingdom, that nobody else besides me is going to have such a kingdom. So Allah ta'ala had given him a very, very powerful and a very, very large kingdom. And وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ. He had control of insan, he had control of jinnat, he had control of the animals also. The jinnat used to go and dive into the oceans and bring about precious jewels for him. Allah Ta'ala had given him such strength that he was even able to hear the whispering of the ant. Allah Ta'ala had given him control of the wind. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوَّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ. That in the morning he could stride like an entire month's journey, and in the evening he could stride like an entire month's journey. So Allah Ta'ala subjugated the wind, given him control of traveling by the wind also. So those are the power and control that Allah Ta'ala had blessed Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam with. So Sulaiman alayhi salam made dua for three things. One was to be given a very, very powerful kingdom. And the second dua he made, that when he passed judgment in any matter, then he must be fair and just. And the third dua that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that whoever visits this land of Masjid al-Aqsa, this dua he made after he had built Masjid al-Aqsa, that whoever visits Masjid al-Aqsa, that they may be forgiven. So Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam control, and Allah Ta'ala mentions that wali Sulaiman riha asifatan tajri bi amrihi ila al-ard allati barakna fiha. So Allah Ta'ala refers to this land of Masjid al-Aqsa as barakna fiha, such a land, a mubarak and a blessed land. Friends and elders, now we find that this land of Masjid al-Aqsa, it was conquered in the year 15th after Hijrah. The army of Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they had gained a lot of territories in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and thereafter they had laid siege to Masjid al-Aqsa, and for several months they did not conquer Masjid al-Aqsa. They had laid siege to it, but they were unable to conquer it. And thereafter Hazrat Amr ibn As came to know that in the scriptures of the Yahud it was mentioned that the description was given of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he is going to be the one that is going to eventually conquer Masjid al-Aqsa. So he sent a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu undertook this journey from Medina Munawwara to Masjid al-Aqsa, and he undertook the journey with one animal, and just with his slave accompanying him. They go towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and just because they had one animal, then they used to take turns to ride the animal. So sometimes Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to ride the animal, sometimes his slave used to ride the animal. And when they were about to enter the land of Sham, the land of Masjid al-Aqsa, it was the turn of the slave to ride the animal. So the slave tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that we are almost entering and almost conquering now. Why don't you ride and allow me to lead the animal? But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu insisted, and in that condition, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu leading the animal and the slave riding the animal, they enter Masjid al-Aqsa. When the enemy saw this, then without putting up any fight, they immediately surrendered and handed over the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept Masjid al-Aqsa for several centuries thereafter in the hands of the believers until the year 495, when the crusaders overpowered it, and they had caused a lot of bloodshed and massacre, and had made a lot of Muslims shaheed. And for almost 100 years, from the year 495 till the year 583, Masjid al-Aqsa was in the hands of the crusaders. But thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again granted victory to the believers. And friends and elders, you should understand that how Allah ta'ala had granted victory to the believers also, it was at the hands of Hazrat Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi. It was mentioned regarding him that despite being a king and a ruler, zakat never became fard upon him. And for over 40 years, he did not perform salah on his own. And people used to tell him also that, how are you living your life in this manner? So he says that how can food be tasty to me, and how can I take enjoyment from food when Masjid al-Aqsa is in the hands of the disbelievers? So we find that with this qurbani and with sacrifice behind him, Allah Ta'ala had granted him victory, and al-Masjid al-Aqsa fell into the hands of the believers once again. And for many, many years thereafter, it remained in the hands of the believers until the 15th of May, which is 75 years, 1948. So on the 15th of May will be 75 years that Masjid al-Aqsa has now been taken away from the hands of the believers. And we find that when this displacement took place, Naqaba it is referred to, it was a very, very humiliating and a very, very horrendous experience for the believers. Approximately 750,000 believers were displaced from their homes. Approximately 75% of the land of the believers was usurped and taken away from them. And we find that hundreds of thousands of Muslims were made shaheed. Over 500 villages were genocide took place in over 500 villages. Ethnic cleansing took place in over 520 villages of the Muslims. And overnight, from their homes, they were now turned into refugees. And for 75 years, approximately 7.2 million Muslims are up till today refugees, forcefully removed and taken out from their homes. So this is the difficulty, and this is the hardship we are facing with the conquering and with the taking over of the Yahud, of the Mubarak land of the Muslims, which is spoken about in so many places in the Quran and Majid. Friends and elders, what is our duty and what is our responsibility at this moment in time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and Allah has placed us in this era when we are witnessing that the Muslims are suffering throughout the world. They are going through a lot of difficulty and hardship. So first and foremost, friends and elders, what made Masjid al-Aqsa And what has given Masjid al-Aqsa that lofty maqam and status? It was that mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is one place on the surface of this earth that a person can say with 100% conviction that every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performs salah in that masjid. And the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made to the heavens. And Allah ta'ala had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a gift. And that gift was a lesson to humanity and a sabak to humanity also. That, what is that lesson and what is the sabak to humanity? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bisabri was salam. So that is the first lesson for each and every one of us. That Masjid al-Aqsa became prominent with this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on that journey, Allah ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that gift of salah. As a reminder and as a lesson to humanity, that in whatever difficulty and whatever hardship you face, we have to resort towards salah. We have to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. That seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience and with salah. So to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in totality and complete yaqeen and conviction and to seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. Friends and elders, together with that, we find, and there are many, many methods people use nowadays. One method is of boycotting. And yet to a certain extent it can help. It is a person's conscience. He feels that I am funding those that are harming my fellow Muslim brothers. So it helps to a certain extent when a person boycotts. But the boycotting, more than boycotting their products, friends and elders, is to boycott the lifestyle of the enemies of Islam. And to adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the day of Ashura, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Medina Munawwara, and he saw that the Yahud were fasting, then what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised? That, sumu qablahu yawman or ba'dahu yawman. That add one day before or one day after. So either fast on the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. So in an act of ibadat, the Yahud were fasting on one day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructs khaliful Yahud, that oppose the Yahud. That don't be like the Yahud. Don't be like the enemies of Islam. Be different to them. If in an act of ibadat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructs us to be different to them, how much more we have to be in not emulating their lifestyle in our ways. Unfortunately, today we find, and may Allah protect us, may Allah save us, may Allah guide us, we're ready to curse the enemies of Islam, we're ready to curse the Yahud, but if we look at our lifestyle, in every way we're emulating them and following them. Be it in our dressing, be it in our way of carrying out our businesses, be it in our free time, we're emulating them. How often we find that our free time is spent exactly like how they are spending their free times. And unfortunately today we're finding that even in our acts of ibadat, we are bringing about their customs and their ways. Let us look at our weddings. Let us look at how we conduct certain aspects of our ibadat also. So on the one hand, they have overpowered us. They have taken our Mubarak Masjid. They have taken all this in their control. And we have this hatred and we have this enmity against them. But on the other hand, we are following their ways. So this is something we have to look at and something we have to be very, very careful also, that adhere upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hold firm upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more in these times also. So on the one hand, bring about salah, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, in hadith Nabi Akrisa mentions that al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, that a person will be with whom he likes on the day of Qiyamah. We claim we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. Nabi Akrisa mentions that person who loves me will love my sunnat, and that person who loves my sunnat will be with me on the day of Qiyamah. So friends and elders, we should bring about this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and refrain from the ways of and the lives of the enemies and the West. And inshallah we will find in this will be our assistance and in this will be our help. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the sufferings of the ummah throughout the world, wherever the ummah is suffering. May Allah remove the suffering and the difficulties of the ummah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free Masjid al-Aqsa and return Masjid al-Aqsa to the rightful hands of the believers. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.